Good morning. Welcome to Barah Ministries, a worldwide Christian church based in Mesa, Arizona. My name is Pastor Rory Clark. Here's the lesson introduction. Heirs are under attack. Heirs are under attack. In Romans chapter 8, verses 12 and 13, the flesh, which is resident in our body, is personified as the one who leads the believer in Christ away from the holy life to death. And here's what Romans 8, 12 and 13 say. So then, brethren, that's a term for believers in Christ. We believers in Christ are under obligation, not to the flesh, to live according to the guidance from the flesh. And remember, the flesh is that part of you that's resident in your body, indwelling you, which absolutely hates you. It hates God, it hates you. It hates everything associated with you, and it is more powerful than your will. So if you ever wondered why you can't keep New Year's resolutions, it's because the flesh is dying for you to set one so that it can ruin it for you. All right? So Romans 8:13, for if you're living according to guidance from the flesh, you must die. But if you're living by the agency of God, the Holy Spirit, you are putting to death the deeds of the body, and you will live the resurrection life. What is that saying? It's saying that believers in Christ are not to sin. That's not what God wants us to do. Now, we do sin, and we're not to sweat it that we do, but that's not what God wants you to do. And the way that God would say that to you is, there's certain neighborhoods that you just shouldn't go in. That's the way he would say it to you. So when you go in that neighborhood, just know I don't want you in that neighborhood. Well, why would that be, God? Because you're going to get jacked up. Right? And that's what happens to believers when we sin. We're getting jacked up, so we want to stay away from it. So as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we're to be aware at all times that we live in Satan's kingdom. The Bible describes planet Earth as Satan's kingdom, and he is the ruler of the world for this time. And that kingdom means harm to us as believers in Christ. Heirs are under attack. A parable in Matthew chapter 21, verses 33 to 46 highlight the plight of God's heirs. Here's what it says. Listen to another parable. This is Jesus Christ talking. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard and put a wall around it and dug a wine press into it and built a tower and rented it out to vine growers and went on a journey. As believers in Christ, we are prepared by God to be a fruitful vineyard. This particular parable was actually directed toward Israel, and it was talking about the Jews. But it has application to the believer in Christ. The Lord reminded his believers in John chapter 15, verse 18, if the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. Now back to Matthew chapter 21, verse 34. And when the harvest time approached, the landowner sent his slaves to the vineyard growers, to the vine growers, to receive his produce. Matthew 21:35. The vine growers took his slaves, beat one of them, killed the other, and stoned the third. Now, those of us who come to spread the Lord's message, like pastors, will always be under attack. All of the Lord's apostles were killed. Matthew 21:36, and again the landowner sent another group of slaves larger than the first, and the vine growers did the same thing to them. Matthew 21:37, but afterward the landowner sent his son to them, saying, they will respect my son. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ is the son. He was sent to the Jews. Was he respected? No, that the Lord Jesus Christ was their Messiah. But they overlooked him. And this passage is directed to the Pharisees, who were the religious unbelievers who were doing that. So the Lord Jesus Christ is the Son, and he wasn't respected. Matthew 21:38. But when the vine growers saw the Son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him and seize his inheritance. And they did just that. Well, at least they tried their best with the Lord Jesus Christ. He rose from the dead. This kid did not. Matthew 21:39, they took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. Matthew 21:40. Therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to the vine growers? Matthew 21:41. The disciples said to the Lord, he will bring those wretches to a wretched end and will rent out the vineyard to other vine growers who will pay him the proceeds at the proper season. Matthew 21:42. Jesus said to them, did you never read the scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected, this became the chief cornerstone. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the stone that the builders rejected, and he became the chief cornerstone. And this came about from the Lord, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Did you see that in Scripture? Matthew 21:43. Therefore I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people producing the fruit of it. So in the context here, the nation of Israel has been set aside for a time in favor of the Gentiles, the church, who is now producing the fruit of the Spirit. But a future generation of Jews will realize that the Lord Jesus Christ is indeed their Messiah, and the kingdom will be restored to Israel. Why is that? Because the Lord Jesus Christ made 5 promises to Abraham, and all of them will come true. And in spite of every effort that's ever been made to eliminate the Jews, it will never, ever occur. And so, Matthew 21:44, and he who falls on this stone will be broken into pieces. He who rejects a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ will be broken into pieces. But on whomever the stone falls, it will scatter that person like dust. In other words, in Hebrews it says, it is appointed once for men to die, and then comes the evaluation. All of us will die physically, and when we do die physically, that will be the time when it will be clear we were a believer or we weren't. Matthew 21:45, when the chief priests and the Pharisees heard the Lord's parables, they understood that he was speaking about them. And when they sought to seize him, they feared the people because the people considered him to be a prophet. Well, don't be deceived, believers in Christ. Satan and the kingdom of death mean you harm. Satan, the world, and the flesh are out to get you. As an heir of the Lord, you are under attack. But greater is he indwelling you than he who is in the world. And so you have nothing to fear. Welcome to a place where you can grow in spiritual capacity by learning how to put on the full armor of God. Well, our first song and our time of musical reflection is called The Good Fight by Unspoken.
Until you stop breathing, till you stop bleeding, until your heart stops kick drum beating. When it's hard times, when it's long days, and the enemy is right up in your face. When your back's against the ropes and you're feeling all alone, keep fighting the good fight. Keep letting your light shine. 'Cause I'm never gonna leave you, always gonna see you through to the other side. Keep fighting. Step, giving you the next breath. I'll be the voice saying you're gonna make it. When you're out there on your own, you are never alone. Keep fighting the good fight. Keep letting your light shine. 'Cause I'm never gonna leave you, always gonna see you through to the other side. Keep fighting the good, fighting the good, fighting the good. Say Keep fighting the good. Keep fighting.
Song that makes me want to dance. All right. I used to be limber. I used to really be able to do that. Not anymore. I'm glad that wasn't on video. Let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of studying your absolute truth, the Word of God. As we study your Word, we call to mind the words of King David in the third psalm, his prayer for protection. O Lord, how my adversaries have increased. Many are rising up against me. Many are saying of my soul, there is no deliverance for him in God. But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory, and the one who lifts my head. I was crying to the Lord with my voice, and he answered me from his holy mountain. I lay down and slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustains me, and I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves round about against me. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you have smitten all my enemies on the cheek. You have shattered the teeth of the wicked. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing be upon your people. Deliver us from our enemies, Father, and make the eyes of our soul aware of and resistant to the deceptions around us. We ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. Today's study, heirs are to be conscious of their heirship. Heirs are to be conscious of their heirship. Well, this is November 22nd, and 52 years ago today, at about 1 o'clock in the afternoon, as I was walking into my grammar school, everybody was crying, and I didn't know why they were crying, and I asked somebody why they were crying, and I remember a little kid, Larnell Reeves, who was the classroom whipping boy, said, "I think I heard President Kennedy got shot." And we all started beating him up because we didn't believe him, but we found out that that's exactly what happened, that the President of the United States had been assassinated in Dallas, Texas. And that started the process of me crying for a week straight. It was one of the most traumatic things that I've ever experienced. So, you know, I just wanted to remind you of that, because I think that's the day that the United States of America died. You know, the day when you take your president out. It was pretty lousy. And since then, you guys remember that at all? We all remember where we were that day. You remember that? To Dallas? Yeah, me too. It's pretty sad. So I just thought I'd remind you of that before we get started on today's lesson. Heirs are to be conscious of their heirship. So let's begin this lesson by taking an offering. In just a few moments, we're going to welcome up Deacon Denny Goodall. Remember that at Barah Ministries, we are sanctioned by God to charge for anything we provide so that you can worship God, because God expects you to provide wages for your pastor and support for the ministry. And we choose not to charge for the things we provide so as to reflect God's grace. That doesn't make us benevolent. It's just something that we choose to do. And we invite you to help yourself to Bibles, to music, to books, to pamphlets, and to anything else that would help you, a family member, or a friend learn about God. No price appears on any material from Barah Ministries, so that anyone who wants to learn about God can do so free of charge. And even though these things are free of charge, they're not free of cost, and we appreciate your financial support so that we can continue to share the Word of God with the hearers God brings to listen. So please be generous in your support of God's work through this ministry. So let's welcome up Deacon Denny Goodall and hear one of his great messages.
Good morning. I am indeed Denny Goodall, and I'm proud to be a deacon for Barah Ministries, a worldwide and powerful Christian church. And last week, Pastor told us that we were led by the Holy Spirit. And I had been thinking about it, luckily, when a coworker asked me about that. He's been listening online during these lessons, and he said, you know, how are you led by the Holy Spirit? You know, are you hearing voices, Denny? Do we need to have a talk? And he was kidding, of course, but I just told him, you know, I had been thinking about it, and you need to have, I looked at my own cheat sheet here. I just told him it's just like salvation. When you have a little bit of faith, more than no faith, you have eternal life right at that moment in God. So it's the same thing when you have decisions in life. Put a little faith in God for those decisions. And how do you have faith in God? You have to have the mind of Christ. And we're given that with the Bible. And we're given that each week here at church. We're given that with these lessons. And that's how you have stability in a crisis. Not by going back to your sins and thinking about, oh, what did I do? Let me rebound and prepare for this catastrophe that's ahead, focusing on my mistakes in the past. No, you think about what does the Word of God say about this crisis? What does Jesus have to say about his preparation for you and what he does for you? And that's how you learn, is by coming, and that's how you prepare for tough situations, is by learning about God and knowing his mind. It's almost like our church has a BC phase and an AD phase. Before Christ, or before clarification, when we were still stuck on rebound, we would go to rebound as a problem-solving device in a situation. But how does that help? Thinking about that you lied to somebody, or that you cut somebody off in traffic and flipped them off, or, you know, that doesn't help in a troubled situation. You need to have the Word of God in your mind. You need to know verses. There's so many verses out there that added stability in my life, all the way through my life. When I'd go for a final exam in college, or when I'd have a traffic ticket, a cop walking up behind me. You know, those aren't the moments you go to rebound. Those are the moments you go to God. And that's why we support this ministry, because this is renewing your mind. This is giving you that chance to have stability and calm. It's just like, for instance, June in the first one. You know, Pastor gave a, you know, kind of critical comment towards her, and she just brushed it off. She's not worried about the opinions of man. She's not worried about the opinions outside. She knows what Christ has to say about her. And that's what we all need to learn. We all need to learn, like he said, we're heirs. And that's powerful. And it's lost on us every day. You get it back out in the world and you forget. You have a crazy customer that you're dealing with that has just, you know, outlandish complaints and is just irritable. You have to thank God for those moments, because they're the ones that make those great customers so much better. It makes it so much easier when you can have the two. You know, how can you have the good without the bad? So, you know, let's just enjoy the ride, no matter what comes. And this is allowing us to enjoy the ride. Barah Ministries. Pastor Rory's deep study of the Word of God. So thank him, and thank you all for your consistent support. So 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. Now I exhort you, I urge you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all agree that there be no divisions among you, but that you be complete in the same mind, the mind of Christ, and in the same judgment. You see, that's true unity, is when we show up all here together, when we bring ourselves together and show the support and show the faces. Pastor loves every one of you, and that's how he can love you deeper, is by seeing you. It's the same way when we come here, we see God, and that's how we can love him more. And that's how we can forgive people and have unconditional love. You know, when I have a crisis late in the night, when I hear a baby crying and I walk in the room and it just smells dreadful, I say, thank you, God. I don't step back and rebound and say, oh, what did I do to deserve this? I just dive right in because I know God's with me. And that's a great feeling. And I'm really thankful for Pastor Rory for continuing and allowing that to happen. So thank you very much.
Thanks for that great message, Deacon Denny. Today's study, heirs are to be conscious of their heirship. Heirs are to be conscious of their heirship. So I just like to correct one thing you said in your offering message, Deacon Denny. The definition of a good customer is the ones who pay. You know, it's like, I don't even understand. Every customer has a personality, right? And you just have to learn to love all of those personalities. But the one thing that you want them to do is pay. And so the mean, the grouchy ones, if they pay, they're great customers. Because I can deal with grouchy. I can't deal with them not paying. That's a problem. So another thing that came to mind that kind of ties into what we're going to be talking about today about heirs are to be conscious of their heirship is one of my favorite movies of all time is The Godfather. And Marlon Brando played the older Godfather. And there was a scene where one of his godsons, Johnny Fontaine, had come on a run of bad luck. And I think if they were tying this character to anybody, they were tying it to Frank Sinatra. And there was a part in a movie that would be perfect for him. And so he went to his godfather because the producer would not give him the part. And so he was sitting on the godfather's desk, and the godfather just loved this guy. And he says, "How are you doing? How are you doing?" He says, "Oh, Godfather, I just had it so tough lately. And, you know, this part, and this producer, you won't give me the part. And, I don't know what I'm going to do." And the Godfather grabs him, and he slaps him, and he says, "You can act like a man. Get a hold of yourself. Get him some wine. Finocchio." He starts. It's just one of the best clips of any movie ever. And I think that's what God the Holy Spirit needs to do to us every once in a while. You know? When we forget who we are and we start whining a little bit, he should grab us. "You're going to act like a man." Yeah, or no gender. You know, with God, there is no Jew or Greek. There is no male or female. There is no slave or free. No social, racial, or gender distinction. So we're studying the final two verses of the second passage of Romans chapter 8, verses 12 to 17, specifically Romans 8, 16 and 17. Here they are. "The Holy Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. We are the born again ones. And if we believers in Christ are children of God, and we are, then we're heirs also. Heirs of God the Father and fellow heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him." See, the fact that God the Holy Spirit testifies with our spirit, not to our spirit, that we are born again ones, indicates that believers in Christ are to be conscious of their status as heirs and aware of all aspects of their inheritance. See, just imagine if you were a human heir. If you were a human heir, you would know that you were going to inherit something. If you were really intimate with the person who was going to be passing along their fortune to you, it wouldn't be a surprise. You wouldn't get to the reading of the will and be scratching your head wondering what exactly was going to be said, because the person who was passing on the inheritance would have already told you. You would have known you were getting one, and you would have known exactly what was in it. That's the way our God works. See, God wants us to be consciously aware that we are children of God. We are the adopted adult sons of God, sons who have the same privileges as adopted adults that natural-born sons have, the sons who have come of age, the sons who are old enough to make their own decisions, who are old enough, the ones with a spirit of freedom and not a spirit of slavery, not ones led by the guidance of the flesh. They're not listening to that rebellious, negative, fleshly thing inside of us that is a GPS leading us to death. But instead, they're listening to God, the Holy Spirit, who also dwells inside of us, who's leading us to life. But, and we are the ones who are led by the testimony of the Spirit, who testifies and with a signature guarantee lets us know that we are heirs, that as believers in Christ we are saved and we have eternal security. We will never be snatched out of the hands of our God. He wants us to be quite conscious of our heirship. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 5 say this: Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us believers in Christ to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. What does it mean to be born again? So I heard somebody say recently, I think I told you this in the last lesson, I heard them say, I have no need of God. Yes, you do. You were born physically alive, but you were born spiritually dead. And if you are spiritually dead, you can't get into heaven. So what has to happen for you? You have to be born again, the spiritual birth. And when you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Holy Spirit baptizes you with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and you are now born again. You are spiritually alive. It's called regeneration. It's called the spiritual birth. It makes us born again ones. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us believers in Christ to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And look at that. God the Father has caused us to be born again. See, you don't earn it. There's nothing you can do to earn salvation. You don't work for it. You don't try to be good. How many times have you heard unbelievers say that? What do you think of yourself? I'm basically a good person. Yeah, but that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says you were born spiritually dead. And you have a problem. That's what Peter is talking about here. First Peter 1:4. He says, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. That's you, believers in Christ. You are heirs. And as heirs, what do you have? You have an inheritance which is imperishable. It cannot be destroyed or taken away. Undefiled, it cannot be perverted, distorted, destroyed, and it will not fade away, and it's reserved in heaven for you. 1 Peter 1:5, you, believers in Christ, who were protected by the power of God the Father, by the power of divine omnipotence, through a faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. When you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation, you don't know what you did. You don't know what you did. You had a conversation with God the Father, and you said this: Father, I believe in Christ. I am placing my confidence for my salvation in Christ. You don't know what you did. You know, now my job is to explain it to you, but you did something so magnificent. You did five words that completely changes your eternal destination. Father, I believe in Christ. It's amazing. And then you come and learn the Word of God, so you find out what you did, the magnificence of what you did. And what you did is you are now protected by the omnipotence of God. You now have an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, reserved for you in heaven. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go there to prepare a place for you. So like me, my mansion is humongous. It's, you know, it's got to have at least 40, 50 bedrooms, you know, a pool, sauna, you know, something to shine all my crowns that I'm going to have, because my resurrection body is going to have all kind of bling. It's going to be amazing. Now, there's some little mansions, too, right? Some little tiny mansions with, you know, soda machines in them where you can fill up, you know, your QT cup. Not quite the same as the big mansions, but mansion is a mansion. How bad is the ghetto in heaven? I sat next to a woman on a plane recently who is a member of a popular religion, and I asked her if she believes that Jesus Christ is God. Yeah, that's a great question. That penetrates right to the soul. do you believe Jesus Christ is God? And she said, well, I know he's a prophet, but whether he's God or not, that's a mystery. And I said, yeah, I used to be a member of your religion, and I know that that's what they told me too, but I never believed that crap. You don't believe that crap, do you? She said, what do you mean? I said, you don't believe that God would keep himself mysterious to us, do you? I mean, what kind of guy would that be? I'd never want to worship that guy. God's crystal clear. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and everyone in your household who also believes. What do you need to interpret? That's crystal clear. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through believing in me. What do you have to interpret? There's nothing to interpret. She was a female version of Nicodemus. Because what did Nicodemus say? Nicodemus was a Pharisee. He had studied for 20 years the Old Testament scripture. And he came and said, came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. I mean, that's what she said. He's a prophet. He is not a prophet. The Lord Jesus Christ is God. The Lord part is God, 100% God. The Jesus Christ part is 100% humanity. He's the uniquely born person of the universe, 100% God, 100% man, and one person forever. So she's not consciously aware of who God is, and unfortunately her husband is a religion teacher. And he's telling her a lot of these things. So I took some time to get her straightened out about who Jesus Christ really is. He is not a rabbi, although he's certainly that. He's not just a teacher, although he's certainly that. He's God. Romans chapter 8, verse 16. The Holy Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. We are the born-again ones. No, it's not a mystery. To the child of God, the Spirit's testimony is a conscious and totally understandable fact. And as we realize this consciously, we have no choice but to cry out, Dad! Romans chapter 8, verse 17. And if we believers in Christ are children of God, and we are, we're heirs also, heirs of God the Father and fellow heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. Heirs. Heirs are in intimate relationship with the one who has the assets. And as heirs, we are joined to the last Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 45 says, so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living soul. Adam was the first man on earth. He and Eve, the first man and the woman on earth, and what did they do? They were told, you can eat of any of the trees, but the one in the middle, don't eat from it. Or dying spiritually, you will eventually die physically. And when you tell people about rules, what do? They immediately want to break them. And they did. The first man, Adam, had perfect relationship with God and broke it. Now the last Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ, came to fix that. 1 Corinthians 15, 45, the last Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ, became a life-giving spirit. He came to fix that. And he did fix it. He came to not restore the old thing. He came to create a whole new life. The resurrection life, and to give it to you as a free gift. And who does he give it to as a free gift? Whoever wants it. And is there anybody that comes to this earth that doesn't know that the Lord Jesus Christ is giving them a free gift? Does anybody get here that doesn't know? No. Baby that dies one day after birth, okay. A little different circumstance. An automatic salvation. But God makes himself known to people. We are heirs, to be conscious of the fact that we are joint heirs with the one, the Lord Jesus Christ, co-heirs. We are a brand new spiritual species. What does that mean, that we're co-heirs? Jesus Christ is an heir, and we are an heir, and we are in union with him. We have the same thing he has. It's like having a brother, and we get the same privileges he gets. And everything that, here's the difference though. Everything that brother gets, you get an exact copy of it. That's amazing. It's amazing that the God of the universe would think that much of you. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 say this. God the Father, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. The Lord Jesus Christ created the earth and the universe as we know it, and we are in union with that person. We are to be conscious of the fact that we are joint heirs with the one who has inherited everything. Excuse me. And everything he has inherited, you get an exact copy of it. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. Those who do not know God will pay the penalty of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ and from the glory of his power. When the Lord comes to be glorified in his saints, saints are believers in Christ, on that day, and to be marveled at among all who have believed, for our testimony to you was believed. What is that saying? It's saying that there are two groups. The people who end up in the lake of fire are the people who have said, I don't want a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is not God. I don't want a relationship with him. Okay, that's your prerogative. That's your prerogative. You don't have to. When he comes to be glorified in his saints, those are the believers, we'll remember that he offered this salvation to all, to whosoever. Heirs will enjoy the fruits with Christ. Like what? The Lord Jesus Christ was resurrected from the dead. So if you get everything he gets, what's going to happen to you when you die physically? Huh? You're going to be resurrected from the dead because you get everything he gets. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 23, each in his own order. Christ, the first fruits, and after that, those who are Christ's at his coming. That's you, the church. Everybody who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ in this age is a church age believer. Christ has been resurrected. You're the next group. You are the next group to be resurrected from the dead. Colossians chapter 3, verse 4 says this, when Christ, who is our life, is revealed at the exit resurrection of the church. That's commonly referred to as the rapture of the church, where God comes and plucks all of his believers off the earth. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed at the exit resurrection of the church, then you, church age believers, also will be revealed with him in glory. When he comes to get you, you will get a resurrection body and you'll live with him forever. And what we have to look forward to as heirs, 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, beloved, that means divinely loved ones, believers in Christ. Now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be, but we know that when the Lord appears, we will be like him, because we will see him just as he is. See, God saves some things. He doesn't tell us everything. There are some things that God has in store for you in the future as believers in Christ that are exceeding and abundantly beyond anything you could ever ask or think. If he told you it, he'd have to kill you. There are so many amazing things that you have in store for you. As co-heirs with Christ, you're to be conscious of the fact that you will share in the glory of God. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12 says, if we endure, we will also reign with him. But if we deny him, he will also deny us. We, as believers in Christ, will reign with the Lord Jesus Christ for 1,000 years in the millennium. That is a period of time somewhere in the future. Right now, the earth and the universe as we know it has 1,007 years minimum left, plus whatever the end of this age is, however long that takes. So from the point of the rapture of the church, where you are plucked off the earth, there's the tribulation period after that, which is 7 years, and then 1,000 years, the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ on this earth. And we, as church-age believers, will reign with him during that time in our resurrection bodies, and our residence will be in the Jerusalem that hovers above the earth. As heirs, we are to be conscious of the fact that we will also suffer with him. Ruh-roh. Why do we have to do that? It's like going to the gym. Suffering is like going to the gym. It toughens you up. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 26 says this, "And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it." That's what Deacon Denny was talking about in the message of the offering, unity. See, here's the thing that people don't realize. Like, does it matter if you guys don't come to church? Does it matter? I mean, it doesn't matter, right? Because we got it on the internet. Right? Huh? Yeah. I mean, we got it everywhere. We got an app. You know, we're in your pocket. We're on your computer. Yeah. It doesn't matter if you're here, right? Wrong. Why? Unity. I don't like it when you're not here. I miss you when you're not here. I actually care about you. You know, when I'm thinking about, you know, some of you guys, when you know, one day you're going to be absent from the body and face to face with the Lord, right? I'm going to get that call from one of your family members. Ah, so-and-so has passed on. And I'm going to get out my list and say, who was it? Oh, yeah, he only came to the first service. All right, so I'm going to do a half a funeral. Is that okay? Yeah. I ain't like Jesus. I'm not unconditional in my love. You only come to one service, you're getting half a funeral. I don't care if you did get a hole in one this week. Amen? Mike got a hole in one this week. He wasn't with me. That's not even right. I don't know how that happened. Congrats, Mike. But now, you know, I'm kidding. I'm going to give you 3/4 of a funeral. I'm not going to give you half. But you see what I'm saying? I mean, it matters. Our unity matters. You know, maybe I'm feeling lousy this week, and maybe you come here and you say something to me. Tracy came in from California. She's a member of our non-resident congregation. It matters to me when I see her. She runs our Facebook ministry, does a hell of a job, and cares about you and this ministry and the people. I asked her yesterday, I said, why do we even do that Facebook page? You know, why do we do that? She said, because there are a lot of people in a lot of countries all around the world that'll be killed if anybody knows that they're Christian. And they're tuning into your lessons. Like, wow. So when I say this is a worldwide ministry, it's really true, huh? Yeah. See, we don't even know the impact that we have. But you matter to me, and you matter to each other. That's called unity. So yeah, it matters that you're here. Yeah, we'll put the lessons up for your convenience. We'll put it in your pocket for your convenience. We want you here. We want your spiritual gift. We want you to go with us to the vets. They care about you being here. I was telling the group yesterday when we had a deacon's meeting how, you know, when Sunday would roll around for the vets, you know, I would think, yeah, it's cool. I love vets, and I'm real passionate about them. But it's Sunday, and, you know, I'd kind of rather be on the couch, you know? All right, and then it's, you know, and I pull up in the parking lot. I said, okay, it's only 1 hour and 45 minutes, so it'll be all right. And then you get in there, and you see the people. And I remember one time I had missed the previous one because I was out of town, and I came back, and a guy lit me up. You know, he said, "Where were you last time?" I said, "Excuse me, sir?" "Yeah, where were you last time?" "Oh, well, see, what had happened is I had a road trip." He said, "Yeah, well, we don't like it when you miss." I said, "Well, why is that?" "Because we enjoy you coming here. You only come here once every 2 months. And so it's been 4 months since you were here. And we missed you." I was like, "I bet you one thing, I'm never going to schedule anything on a Sunday that is a vet Sunday, because that got to me. It matters to them, just like you matter to me." Unity. Now, what happens with Christ happens with his heirs. Why? Because we're in unity. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 and 13 say this: "For even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ." What does that mean? You don't pay any attention to your little toe until you stub it. And then all of a sudden, you know exactly how important that little toe is to you, don't you? Right? Now, Alex is a little toe of Barah Ministries. Right? And we need to get that little toe a manicure, amen? But he matters to this ministry. Every one of us is a part of the body. And as a part of the body, when you don't have that part, you don't function the same. And we forget about that because these things are lying to us, telling us that these are our friends. Facebook, we have friends. Now, we've never talked to them, but they're friends. I remember the time when a friend was somebody that you actually interacted with. "Oh, I was talking to them on a text." No, you weren't. You're punching glass. You're not talking to them. That's not unity. 1 Corinthians 12:12, "Even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ." 1 Corinthians 12:13, "For by the agency of one Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, we were all baptized into one body." Baptized meaning what? We were made spiritually alive and placed into union with Christ. Whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, we were all made to drink of one Spirit. No social distinction, no racial distinction, no gender distinction. One body, the body of Christ. So as heirs, what? We are to become conscious of our heirship so that we can enjoy everything that the Lord is giving us. So how do we summarize these two verses? You know, when I lived in the ghetto, it was always my intention to get out. And I felt like the way out was education. That's what my mom told me. "Get your education, boy, and get out of here." So it was always my intention to get out. So I studied. I got good grades. I learned to talk. And my buddies used to always say, "Man, you talk like a white boy. I know what you're going to do. You're going to leave. And you're going to forget where you came from." Right? Well, there's no way you can ever forget where I came from. That is not something that you can erase from your mind. I will never forget where I came from. And I go back regularly to see it. This week, when you have a trial, I urge you this. Don't forget where you came from. Where you came from is Christ. Where you came from is sonship, child, heir, adopted, spirit of freedom. Don't ever stop reminding yourself of that. That's what these lessons were about. When the Lord Jesus Christ promises salvation, it's a guarantee. What does he say? Romans 3:10, as it is written, there is no creature who is righteous, not even one. And righteousness is a requirement to get to heaven. There is no creature who is righteous, not even one. We're born physically alive, but we're born spiritually dead. But here's the good news, Romans 5:8. God the Father demonstrates his unconditional love toward all mankind, and that while we were yet sinners, while we were spiritually dead unbelievers, the Father sent Christ to die as a substitute for us. John 3:17, God the Father did not send the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into the world to condemn the world, but the Father sent his Son into the world that the world might be saved through believing in him. John 1:12, but as many as receive the Lord, taking advantage of the free gift of salvation that you don't deserve, you don't have to work for, and you can't earn, to them he gave the right once and for all time to become children of God, to those who believe in Christ's name. Closing song, You Don't Have to Beg.
Your secrets, you're no stranger to me. All you've done, all you'll do, I've known an eternity. Dying on the cross for you was planned before your first breath, to prove how much I love you, and I will never love you less. You don't have to beg me to love you. I don't need a bribe. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My ways are higher too. My love's not the love of man, to be given then taken.
Thank you, June. Let us pray. Almighty God and Father, we thank you for everything that you've done for us, especially for taking wretches like us and making us into something, standing us up and making us proud. Thanks for always being there for us. Thanks for guiding us. Thanks for protecting us. Thank you for creating, before we even were born, a perfect life for us. Help our eyes, the eyes of our souls, to see what you've done and to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which we've been called. We ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. Thanks for coming, thanks for watching, and thanks for listening.